Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2013. We hope you're having a good day. We are live each weekday, noon to 1, right here on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, a station that has great reach in every direction from Tucson. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We post the program usually within about an hour of its conclusion, so you can listen to the program anytime, anywhere in the world by visiting buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com have the program available. There's also a link on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun at gvnews.com and the homepage of Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. And we encourage you also to follow us on Facebook. On today's show, we talk with Rick Myers. Mr. Myers heads up the Arizona Board of Regents, which is charged with overseeing the state's three universities. 20 minutes past the hour, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman joins us. 30 minutes past the hour, it's our quarterly water report with David Modier. Mr. Modier is head of the Central Arizona Project, and we'll close out the show with a leading Valley Fever researcher at the University of Arizona. Dr. Joseph Tabor will be joining us. You can join at any time during the hour on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number, 790-2040. Let's go now to the live line. And Rick Myers. Rick is the chairman of the Arizona Board of Regents. Rick, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill.
Glad you're having a good day, and want to talk a little bit about, right off the bat, tuition. The Arizona Board of Regents will be conducting a public interactive meeting on the proposed tuition increase, and I'm sure you want to invite everyone to come out. That's 5 to 7 tomorrow afternoon and into the evening at the Gallagher Theater in the Student Union Memorial Center. Rick, outline for us this tuition hike, which by all accounts looks to be quite modest.
Well, you know, everything's relative in life. And right now the University of Arizona is asking for a 3% tuition increase. As you say, tomorrow afternoon is the chance for students and families and other members of the public to give direct input to the regents. We'll have regents at all the university sites. We'll be live streaming that across the state. And I tell you, when we look at U of A and we look at the tremendous responsibility we've given the university to provide education to our people, to provide the ideas and the strength for economic growth of the companies in the state, and we look at all of the work that Dr. Hart has undergoing there for reducing costs and trying to be more efficient and yet achieve those great goals we've given, I think the fact that they can do that with the rising costs of health care and energy costs and hold it to a 3% increase right now looks to be fairly reasonable. But again, we won't be voting on that until April 4th at a formal meeting.
So that to a resident undergraduate tuition will go up about $350.
If you look at the tuition, right now the U of A tuition is around the $10,000 amount, and that is about the average for its peer institutions. But at the same time, U of A last year gave out a couple hundred million dollars of scholarships and needs-based financial aid. So while that's the list price, if you will, people that have need have many options to work with the university to help make sure they can still attend.
And non-resident undergraduate tuition is such an important part of the financial mix. That's going up less than $1,000 to about $27,000. Is that still considered a pretty good bargain for non-resident students?
And, you know, it actually is. We're continuing to increase the number of non-resident students. It's cheaper than in-state tuition at a number of the senior public universities as well as a lot of the private universities in the surrounding states. And we're getting a high quality of out-of-state students. Right now at U of A, a little over 30% of the student body comes from outside the state.
U of A students have experienced tuition hikes, I think this is correct, in 25 of the past 27 years. Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I don't know that for certain, but certainly tuition's gone up a lot. You know, we've gone from a very low level of tuition with basically no financial aid to a higher level of tuition with significant financial aid. And if you look at the student body, we have more students from across the economic divisions of society, across the ethnic divisions of society. We have a larger and more diverse student body than we've ever had.
You know, we had Dr. Andrew Comrie on the show recently on our Friday Focus interview, Rick, and he's now, of course, the Senior Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost. I've known Andrew for years. I think he was a really good choice of an internal candidate to be provost. I think he's going to really help the university.
Great. No, I agree. I think he's wonderful. And, you know, Dr. Hart is running a number of national searches, a new vice president of health for the university. The new CEO at the medical center, Mike Waldrum, came from University of Alabama, Birmingham's medical center. He has a tremendous national reputation. So I know Dr. Hart is putting together a tremendous team to help U of A achieve its goals.
You know, for so many years, we suffered through really hard times for the university budgets. Give us a kind of a quick overall assessment how we look with the budgeting as we're in this legislative cycle right now.
Well, you know, it's still up in the air. The legislature is still debating. The governor has made a request for U of A for an additional almost $17 million to add to the $270 million that the state provided last year. And so certainly we're seeing us turning the corner. We're seeing the state looking at starting to reinvest in higher education. The governor has asked us formally to come forward this fall with a significant plan to reinvest back in our three universities. And I know she's very supportive of us putting the right kind of business case on the table to show why it makes sense for the state.
I noticed the Goldwater Institute sent out a news release yesterday, Rick, about the Board of Regents, of course, voted last month to end that policy that diverted mandatory tuition surcharges to the Students Association. That's a private group that lobbies on behalf of Arizona's 130,000 public university students. Well, the Students Association is now suing, but it looks like, from what I interpret from this news release, the Goldwater Institute is on your side in this one, the Regents' side. Is that correct?
Yes. I think if there are sides to take, I think you probably can describe it that way. You know, we all are on the same side in terms of absolutely wanting our students to have a strong voice in their future and to be active participants. The Arizona Student Association is a separate organization outside of the universities that's independently run. And for years, they've taken advantage of a fee that was not set by the regents, but it came out of a referendum from the students, and it was applied to the bill that went out from the universities. And the ASU student government leaders came forward to the regents and said, you know, this really isn't the right way to do things, that students have to opt out of that every semester. And we think a better process would be an opt-in, so students truly have a choice whether or not they want to contribute to this separate organization. And that's what the regents did, is they changed the policy to make this an opt-in so that every student every semester can make a decision whether or not they want to fund this outside organization.
And the policy change, as I understand it, has not eliminated funding for the Students Association altogether. Is that correct?
No, not at all. I mean, again, it allows the university billing system to be a conduit for people to use to contribute $2 a semester if they so choose. But again, it's up to a student then to proactively make that choice. So the Arizona Student Association, you know, needs to be visible to the student body and show their value. And if they do that, then I'm sure students will continue to want to contribute. The students that expressed concern felt that the fact that it was on everybody's bill automatically and you had to tell them to take it off your bill wasn't really appropriate because they wanted students to make an actual proactive choice.
Okay, Rick Myers, thank you very much. I'm glad we could get you on our program today, a day before the event, the public event. So we do invite, and I'm sure you would love to see everyone out there as well, at the Arizona Board of Regents meeting on the proposed tuition increase. That's 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Gallagher Theater on the U of A campus tomorrow. Rick, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Rick Myers, he is the chairman of the Arizona Board of Regents. Up next, our Tuesday Money Maker Report with Shelley Fishman. And Shelley's going to be with us on the live line. He's got an investors meeting in Phoenix, but I predict he's got a big smile because the market is up today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
My name is Chandler Warden from the Board of Trustees at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. I'd like to extend a personal invitation for you to attend a concert hosted by the Desert Museum and the Oasis Project, featuring the award-winning and internationally acclaimed John Jorgensen Quintet, live at the Desert Museum Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th at 6 p.m. Considered one of the best living guitar players, John Jorgensen has played with artists from Johnny Cash to Luciano Pavarotti. These gypsy jazz concerts will be recorded for a DVD and will feature the song you're hearing now, Sonora Spring, all to benefit the Desert Museum. To purchase tickets and find out more information, please visit oasisproject.desertmuseum.org or call 989-0901. That's oasisproject.desertmuseum.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Let's welcome Shelley Fishman right now on the Buckmaster Show live line at 1220. Shelley is giving us a call from Phoenix, where he is attending an advisor's meeting. Shelley, I can't see you, but I bet you've got a pretty good smile on your face.
Nice smile on my face, Bill. The market's up about 100 points today so far.
That's nice. A little nice movement to the top side, but, you know, is the bull market beginning maybe to show a little bit of its age?
Well, you know, it's been going on now since March of 2009. That's 4 years. You know, it's not clear when there will be some sort of correction. Not sure how large that correction will be, but there's going to be one. And, you know, the pace that we're on right now, which would be a 40% year on the Dow, is probably not going to happen. So we can anticipate that at some point people are going to start taking profits. They're going to get a little bit more cautious, and we'll see a little bit of a flattening out, maybe even a 3 to 5% pullback in the level of the Dow. And I think if we're prepared for that, if we expect it, then it won't be scary. If on the other hand we get a set of a mindset that says, well, every day is going to be a little bit up and to the right, you know, a little bit positive, and then it stops for a couple of weeks, people could be upset by that. So my advice to my clients is, hey, this year has been just gangbusters so far, but it can continue at this pace. So, you know, let's just set our expectations properly.
Well, I like your prediction that you made about for the year. You were saying that 2013 would be about 14-15% on the upside. Did I get that correct?
You did. Yeah. Let's see, 2 months ago when I was at one of these meetings and we did the show, I remarked that the official LPL forecast was low single digits, and that surprised me. Well, we had a new forecast today, and now it's high single digits. So the LPL folks are beginning to believe that the headwinds that they were very concerned about, and were right to be concerned about, have slowed down a little bit. The Congress, you know, appears to be getting their act together in terms of at least a continuing resolution, not being overly silly about the debt ceiling. We actually have competing budgets, one from the Senate, one from the House. So on the domestic side, we appear to be at least trying to get things together. The Fed keeps signaling that they're going to continue to stimulate the economy, so that's good. The Cyprus crisis has not caused more than a ripple in the markets. I can't say that for the European markets, but certainly for the U.S. markets. The Europeans, once again, have at the very last minute kind of settled down the crisis. So, and all the indications we're seeing from the economy, housing starts, consumer confidence, even unemployment numbers, all of these things are just showing that this economy wants to keep rolling. And we're seeing forecasts now from 5 to 9% for a rise in corporate profits. That would indicate certainly very strong movement in the markets. So, I think 2013 is just going to be a great year, Bill.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with us, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley is on this program, the Buckmaster Show, every Tuesday at about 12:20 in the afternoon. He's at a advisor's meeting up in Phoenix where the official line apparently is starting to get a little more bullish for the year. But when you talk about your clients and the strategy that you are instituting in managing their portfolios, what are you considering as we close out this week on the first quarter of 2013?
Well, for most of my clients, the last quarter of last year, the beginning of this quarter, we did some rebalancing and we did some adjustments to take into account the fact that increased risk in the portfolio was probably appropriate. So for my clients now who are in this for the long term and are not looking to day trade and you know, time the market, then we're just going to ride through whatever kind of pullback we might see in the second or early part of the third quarter. For clients who have new money coming in or who want to reinvest, at this point, I'm beginning to set targets, low targets, and you can buy positions. You can when you put in a buy order, you put in that order at a price that you want to pay rather than at the market price. So, you know, what you can do is you can set that buy price down, say 4 or 5% from where it is today, and hope that in a couple of weeks or maybe a month or so, if the market pulls back, you'll begin to buy, you'll be able to buy that position or those positions at a somewhat lower price than you could buy them today. Now saying that, if the market just keeps on going up, you're going to kick yourself. But that's the kind of strategy you can employ if you believe, as I do, that we're going to have some sort of pullback.
Well, there is some defense built into that strategy. I mean, it's kind of a backstop, isn't it, in some ways?
That's exactly what it is, Bill.
But it gives you, you know, a good, if you use the sports analogy, a team really needs to play. Of course, they have to play very good offense, but you really can't win games if you don't have a defense, correct?
That's exactly right. And for the past couple of years now, it has been win-win-win. And so being defensive and making sure that you protect the downsides, at least for my clients and for people who are in their 50s or 60s, it's very, very important, because if we have a significant downside and your clients need or my clients need to begin to use that money during that downside, it's very painful.
When you are meeting with younger people, that's a different story.
Oh, absolutely a different story. In the case of young folks, we know that nothing, including real estate, has performed as well as equity markets over the long term. And for clients in their 30s and 40s who are going to have 20 or 30 years to invest, then you build a portfolio that is reflective of their risk tolerance and time frames, but also reflective of where you think the economy is going to go over that time period, what sectors of the economy are going to be successful. You build a portfolio based upon those kinds of forecasts, and you stick with it as long as you possibly can. And you might make some, you know, minor tweaks around the edges every year, but for people who are in their working years, investing in their 401ks or 403bs, or investing in brokerage accounts or managed advisory accounts, and have a while to keep investing, then the strategy has to be the best economic forecasting you can do, but at the same time, it's buy and hold and ride through the rough times, because there will be some.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman is with us. This is our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. The best way to get a hold of Shelley, of course, is through the buckmastershow.com. We have a link up there. Shelley, in the remaining minute, when you do meet with a new investor, what are some of the questions you ask of those people?
Well, the first and most important is, what has been your experience investment? In other words, have you had bad experiences? Have you had good experiences? What works for you, the client? What hasn't worked? So that you get a sense of where that client's head is and where their emotions are. You have to connect with a client viscerally, I think, in order to do the right thing for them and put a plan together for that individual client.
Shelly Fishman, always a pleasure. Shelly can be reached again through buckmastershow.com. His link is right there, along with a lot of other good information. Shelly, have a great day up in Phoenix.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Supporters and foes of same-sex marriage have each run into some resistance from the Supreme Court justices during today's 80 minutes of arguments over California's Proposition 8, defining marriage as a union of one man and one woman. Indiana's highest court has upheld a law creating a school voucher program that's the broadest such program in the country. Today's ruling clears the way for expansion of that voucher program. The nation's leading group of financial risk analysts says medical claims costs will jump an average 32% for individual policies under the president's health care law. It's been a good day on Wall Street. The key average is sharply higher. The Dow is up about 106 points, the NASDAQ 15 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. And once a quarter here on the program, we focus on one of Arizona's most important issues, if not the most important resource, water. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Modier. David is former head of Tucson Water. He's now the general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. David, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Hope things are going well down there.
They are going very well down here, and we've all been watching very closely these developments concerning the Navajo Generating Station in northern Arizona. Last month, the Environmental Protection Agency released its long-awaited proposal for controlling emissions at the Navajo Station. That power plant is so important because it provides more than 90% of CAP's water. David, update us on this EPA proposal and what is the CAP doing in response?
Well, the EPA finally, as you said, released their proposal, and we are quite disappointed, as many of the other stakeholders in this process are, with their requirement to have us install SCRs, which we do not feel are supported by the data that was even prepared by another federal agency, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. However, it is what the EPA has issued, and we're going to have to try to deal with this. We did get an extension of the comment period, but it certainly bodes not well for us in terms of cost. The ruling itself will require over $500 million of installation of facilities at NGS, and there are so many uncertainties with it, Bill, that we're not completely confident that the other owners of the plant, besides the Bureau of Reclamation, who owns it for CAP, that they will be willing to make the investment that's required to meet the standards, which is the lowest standard in the country that the EPA has set for visibility regulations. And it's unclear if that standard can even be met by the plant. So we're very concerned about this outcome, and we will continue to work with the other stakeholders and EPA to try to craft a response that might provide us the opportunity to meet the regulatory process in a time frame that would allow the amount of the investments needed to be made to be recovered by the owners.
The installation of these selective catalytic reductions, known as SCRs, David, there's no guarantee. First of all, it's going to cost at least $500 million, and one study had indicated that there was really no conclusive evidence that these expensive controls would really yield any perceptive or perceptible improvement in the visibility at the Grand Canyon and other areas of concern in northern Arizona.
Well, that's correct, Bill. The study conducted by the Salt River Project, who operates the plant, and also by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, under a study that was done by for the Department of Energy, say the same thing, that there is no evidence that visibility will be improved to any significant degree that would be noticeable, and there is no study that shows that this kind of money would be well spent in terms of improving visibility at the Grand Canyon. The problem for EPA and those of us is that the real causes of visibility, such as transportation of particles and all out of Los Angeles Valley and forest fires and those kinds of things, they do not allow the EPA to go after non-point sources. So Navajo is the only single non-point source of potential haze-causing emissions, and so that's where they go to try to meet the standard in the Clean Air Act. We don't think it's appropriate, nor do we think it's something that will improve the visibility at the canyon. So it's important for us to continue to engage with the stakeholders, including the Navajo Nation and the Hopi Nation and all the other Indian water settlement tribes and the cities like Tucson to try to impress upon EPA the complexity of this issue, the uncertainty that the plant would stay alive if they don't have appropriate amount of length of time to meet the regulatory proposal, whatever the final rule will be, because this is not a final rule just yet, and we hope to have influence over that. But it's a difficult situation right now, and there's significant cost impacts at stake and significant issues for tribal issues relative to their survival, even economic survival. So it's probably one of the biggest issues that Arizona as a state has faced here in recent years, and it's going to be a very difficult process to work through.
So there's really a lot at stake here. This cost could go over $1 billion, but those costs are going to have to be passed on to the CAP power users, and then that eventually goes on to the customers. The Navajos and the Hopis could lose $152 million in annual revenue, and hundreds of jobs are also at stake.
Well, the Navajo and the Hopi will tell you that their lifestyle, their whole income that supports tribal activities and supports the main source of high-quality jobs in the Navajo and Hopi land is a result of Navajo Generating Station. Without that, their culture is devastated. So it is a life-sustaining issue for them to maintain the existence of the Navajo Generating Station through its useful life. The same is true for settling tribes who pay for energy to deliver water to them, both in Tucson, like the Tohono O'odham, as well as the other settling tribes in the Phoenix area. But it's also important to the cities because the costs do get passed on. We are a cost recovery agency. So 25% of those $1 billion in costs are passed through to our customer, it's going to be an impact. It's going to raise the energy rates, depending upon what the final rule is, could be up to 80 to 120% on the energy side of the cost equation. So it's a substantial issue for all of us, and to try to get some reasonableness in the resolve of this issue.
We have Congresswoman Kirkpatrick with us on the show. She'll be our Friday Focus interview, David, this Friday, and of course we'll be asking her about all this. What happens now? What period are we in right now? Are we in the comment period?
We are in a comment period that extends until August 4th. We met with the EPA last week in Washington, D.C., and they have committed to us that they will hold public hearings in Arizona, and one of those public hearings will be in the Tucson area. So we would encourage everyone to attend that and to provide their comments to the EPA on the impacts of this rule and where it should go. We will be developing our official response to the EPA and have that filed with the EPA prior to August 4th, and be prepared to address EPA at every one of the hearings that they have in the state. So that's the stage it's at. And once the public hearing process, public comment process is over on August 4th, then the EPA will take time to review and respond to every comment that they have received, and at some point in time, which is likely to be prior to the end of 2013, they will issue a final rule, and then whatever happens from that final rule will take place at that time. There could be legal action, there could be administrative actions, or we could find a rule that gets us the ability to be in compliance, and that's what we hope will be the outcome.
And the CAP is asking, I know, David, you want your customers, your stakeholders, and really the public to provide comments to the EPA on this proposed rule. People can visit capsmartenergy.com. Is that the best way, David Modere?
They can do that, and they can find out the address to send their comments to, either email or written to the EPA, or they can go to the epa.gov, I believe it is, website, and they can find the links for it on there also. And then, as I said, sometime towards the end of July, before August 4th, there will be a public meeting that it will be scheduled. It has not been formally scheduled yet, but will be, and it will be held somewhere in the Tucson area also.
David Modere, thank you for getting us the latest information on this really important subject to Arizonans. Thanks, David.
I appreciate it very much, Bill. Look forward to speaking with you next time.
Thanks very much. David Modere with our Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
$12.51 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. One of our Facebook friends, Roberta, had Facebooked us saying she was inclined to visit Silver City after hearing about our announcements here on the Buckmaster Show. She had a great time over there and urged all of our Buckmaster listeners to do the same and travel 3.5 hours east of Tucson to visit the Silver City area, one of America's top arts communities. Plenty of great places to stay, including Lake Roberts Motel and Wildwood Retreat in Hot Springs. You can get all the information at southwestnewmexico.org. A University of Arizona researcher is trying to bring some clarity to the perception that valley fever is at epidemic proportions here in southern Arizona. Joining me now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Joseph Tabor. Joe is an epidemiologist with the University of Arizona College of Public Health. Joe, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Talk to me a little bit and our listeners about, first of all, how serious is the valley fever situation? What's your overview of it here in the Tucson area?
Well, the disease can be really devastating for a small proportion of the people that get infected. But the case number of reported cases and the predicted cases are very different. Currently, it's about half what's reported to this by the state is about half what the predicted number of cases are.
So really, the reality is that only half of the predicted cases are indeed valley fever. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, reported disease is a case must meet a CDC's definition of a case, and that generally requires a physician's diagnosis and laboratory confirmatory testing. And at the beginning of the fear of an epidemic was around 1995, and that's when CDC made Valley fever a reportable disease. So from 1995, there was around 3.8 people per 10,000 that had Valley fever. That was 2.5 cases per 100 or 10,000 people. And then in 2000, it was 3.8 people. So that was like a fourfold increase. And that raised a lot of fears. But when I got looking at the data, it looked like it was more an epidemic of reporting. And so what you can expect based on prediction on very good scientific studies is that we probably have around 50 people per 10,000 in Tucson that will have severe enough as symptoms to be diagnosed and reported.
So that doesn't seem like a lot. That seems like it's perhaps something we shouldn't really be too worried about. Is that correct?
Well, we don't.
Unless you're one of the 50 people.
Exactly. The thing is some people think there's an epidemic.
Right.
But what the real take-home message is that it's underreported. The real burden on the population and the economic costs from loss of work and expenses, medical expenses, is the estimates are being underreported. So, you know, policies should be in place to find solutions for this. Some of it is research studies that I'm doing, like in ecology and exposure analysis, but there's other projects like the Nicomycin Z study led by Dr. Galgiani. He's a physician and director at the Valley Fever Center for Excellence. And also there's a vaccine project called the Valley Fever Vaccine Project of the Americas, and it's based in California. So there's a lot of different different researchers and organizations are trying to solve this problem and with different approaches. But the same goal is to reduce disease, infection and disease of this valley fever, which can be devastating and potentially fatal.
How about I was going to ask you, these huge dust clouds that we seem to be having lately during the monsoon season, are we expecting an increase in the number of valley fever cases because of these clouds?
Well, I haven't looked at the data, but what's been associated as exposure to valley fever is dust, but not all dust is created equal. I've done research on identifying where it occurs in the soil, and it's very spotty. And it gets really hot here in Tucson, so if the soil surface gets over 150 degrees, it's going to kill the spores. Also, the UV from the intense sunlight is going to kill the spores. So dust and spores being picked up by a haboob may be dead and not infected. So it's still not clear if the haboob, all haboobs, are going to cause peak cases. Another complicating factor is that a large proportion of the population is already immune, because 60% get infected, but they're never have symptomatic disease that is severe enough that they'll go to a physician, get diagnosed, and then get reported. So there's a large population out there that have been infected, and for the most part, most of them are immune.
All right.
So you get a haboob blowing across Phoenix or Tucson, and 30% or more of the population's already immune.
Yeah, if you live long enough here in the southern Arizona, there's a good chance that you will become immune to valley fever.
Yeah, and my research has shown, like in the Hispanic communities, they, on the surface, look like they have lower rates of valley fever, but then you go up into Oro Valley, you have very high rates. And that's probably because the people in the Hispanic communities have been living there all their lives, a large proportion of them, and there's a larger proportion of them that are immune compared to, say, some of the other communities that have a large proportion of retirees that move from areas of the country that it wasn't endemic, so they've never been exposed. And as you get older, you're more likely to show symptomatic disease.
Dr. Joseph Tabor, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Tabor, epidemiologist at the University of Arizona College of Public Health. Thanks to Culligan Water supplying bottled water for us on the Buckmaster Show. All of our guests here at Culligan are offered, and they gladly take a bottle of Culligan. Culligan Water just simply tastes better. John C. Scott comes up from 3 to 5 this afternoon. Then Chris and Joe wake up Tucson 6 to 8. Tomorrow morning, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great Tuesday afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.